GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Mike and Nate and Harrison teaming up to help you sell your home faster and for top dollar. On the PD Cudor telephone line in Westbrook this morning, which is beautiful, especially this time of year, the hardest working man in Maine's Department of Transportation, or so we like to say, Paul Merrill, the spokesperson. Welcome back to GHRT. What a crazy day on Interstate 95 northbound in Carmel. You were telling us that even some DOT engineers, they were in the line of traffic, stuck there for a time, weren't they, Paul?
Yeah, one of our top engineers was heading to Bangor, and he was kind of relaying us information as we were getting it, because he was in the backup for a couple hours, I guess.
I have talked to a few people who were nearby, not actually in it. Chaos was the word that most people like to use. When you get these type of accidents, all bets are off, because really there's not much of a game plan that you can do for the first 30 seconds. I mean, everybody's just trying to survive it. But involved was even a state trooper's car, right?
Yeah, I saw a news report about that yesterday. Yeah, the information we were getting from the scene was that I saw pictures of people just standing outside of their cars in the backup. But so it was, and as far as when it actually happened, I mean, yeah, I don't, when the sun is blinding and people start to panic, I imagine it's a pretty frightening few seconds. There's not much that we or really anyone can do about, a situation like that. So usually we just, prevention is the best thing to do. So, we urge people, if there are conditions that are potentially hazardous, don't speed, don't follow too closely, and try to keep your cool if something goes awry. But yeah, I imagine when the banging around started to happen, there was not much people could do except kind of cross their fingers for a few seconds.
Mm. Paul Merrill of Maine's DOT. Follow-up yesterday's multi-car pileup, 30 vehicles, at least 13 transported, some serious injuries in Carmel. We know that stretch of road, we talked about it yesterday. If you're familiar with Interstate 95, it doesn't run just north-south. It gets to Newport, and then it takes a hard turn west to east, so the sun was right in everyone's eyes. Oddly, though, the lack of sunlight on some stretch of the road caused some of the slippery conditions that might have led to the pileup, Paul.
We have not heard anything about ice being a cause. All I've heard from yesterday was that it was the sunlight. Yes, we're aware that there have been some high profile crashes along that stretch of the east west stretch of 95. There's not one factor that contributed to any of the big ones that we know about, the pileup from 5 years ago and yesterday's. But there's not one magic bullet, unfortunately. We know that the pileup 5 years ago was caused by a flash freeze and people driving too quickly. Preliminarily, we believe yesterday was just the sun, and we'll find out more as state police do their work. But we do, we know that there are some unique situations there. We can't control Mother Nature, but we can do our best to try to respond and be proactive. So one of the things we are doing is we're putting new roadside weather information systems in along the interstate. There are six going in this year. The first two, one of them's going in Freeport. The other one is going at Aetna right along that stretch, because we know that it's a problem area. And that will give us better real-time information about the weather, about the pavement condition. We can actually get a reading on how good the grip is on the pavement from those devices. So that should relay better information, more reliable information to our folks in Augusta, who can quickly turn it around and relay it to law enforcement, to the traveling public. So at least that if we see some wacky situation, albeit fog or sun glare or whatever, we can quickly get the message out that people need to be aware, tap on the brakes, things like that. So we're hoping to be that new technology will let us get a better grip on unique situations and be able to alert the traveling public as quick as possible with real-time information.
Well, we often say location, location, and real estate, and in automobile crashes sometimes of this nature, time of day is the deal. This is 7:37 in the morning. The first seven cars got into it and then set off that chain reaction into the sun or whatever the determination is going to be. And then there was 10 more cars that came up in secondary crashes. If you look at social media yesterday, everybody had a solution. Everybody who wasn't there was giving you an answer. The truth of the matter is the state police reported yesterday that people just kept coming up at a high rate of speed into this situation.
Yeah, I mean, speed really is an issue. I mean, that is one thing that folks can do. You know, we put on the, you know, so, we occasionally put on the, you know, 45-mile-an-hour flashers. They were on earlier yesterday morning, but we had taken them down about an hour before the crash. And for an hour, traffic was fine. You know, but if there are precarious conditions, or even if there aren't, you know, we all see the people on the highway doing 85 miles an hour and kissing the bumper of the person in front of them. I mean, something like that is an accident waiting to happen. So, you know, we talk about, you know, what can you do if you're all of a sudden you're blinded and you don't know what's going on. I mean, really the one thing to say is don't get in that situation where if you're, you know, if somebody's tapping the brakes, you're all of a sudden in their back seat. So, you know, and yes, I'm aware that everybody had a different solution for yesterday's problem. You know, I even got asked, can we move the highway? Which is not.
Move it right over there.
It's been there since what, 1965? So
help us pick it up and just rearrange it. Yeah.
Paul Merrill of Maine's DOT is our guest here. A couple of listeners, at least one now, chiming in, and I guess they're looking at multiple accounts from people that the road was slippery. We'll leave that to the state police. We're asking as our question of the day today, Paul, do you heed the DOT's flashing informational billboards placed along Interstate 95? Because if better information is now coming in, you can activate those signs way back on the road. And then there's a chance someone will see it and realize, okay, there is something up ahead. It is going to be dangerous, and I'd better slow down now. Is education going to be a solution to this?
Well, we think so. I mean, there's a big effort with intelligent transportation systems, which is basically using technology to get a better read about what's going on out there. You know, we have the tools exist. We just need to make sure that they're in place and you know, working efficiently. So we have we just redid our traffic management center. It's kind of like our ops center in Augusta. And you know, we have the folks in there are monitoring speeds in real time. You know, we have roadside sensors. We have probe data. We have constant communication with law enforcement. So the idea there is to use technology to make sure that we have the best information so we can relay it to the public. You know, informed drivers are better drivers, are safer drivers. And also that helps us get the best use of our infrastructure. You know, we're in a funding situation where we can't, you know, we're not going to go out and widen an interstate anytime soon, but if we can reduce congestion and minimize the number of accidents, we're going to be getting better use out of the infrastructure that we have. So all that stuff is the aim is informing people. And, you know, I hope people heed the signs. If we're flashing 45 and you realize, you know, why is the sign on? Maybe, you know, I'm realistic. Maybe somebody's not going to go 45, but at least they might go 55. And that if that prevents a crash, if that prevents, God forbid, an accident, then, you know, that's a win.
Well, Maine is not alone in this. The local area, not alone in this. We've had multiple crashes across the country this winter. We see them out west. They involve a lot of big trucks sometimes. The secondary crashes really create more as much problem as the original crash. That's when everything piles up. And most police say speed then becomes a factor. If you can just, not that they will, because we all realize that they won't. They
right.
being
yeah.
the drivers, that people just seem to be oblivious to the fact that when the roads are not perfect, you can't drive a normal speed.
Right. Yeah. And you know, law enforcement does it. They do a good job in partnering with us. Just, you know, we can repeat the message till we're blue in the face, and we're going to keep repeating it as we stay blue in the face, because it may reach a few more people. And, you know, repetition is the way to get the message out. And seeing things like yesterday and realizing the potential results of bad driving habits. Again, we don't know exactly what happened yesterday. And George, you mentioned the ice. I mean, nothing I've heard was that it was icy. Now, if the state police come back and say that there was ice, then certainly, you know, we're going to let them do their work, and then we're going to figure out if there was anything we could have done differently in the aftermath. You know, we leave the investigation to them. But I do know that as far as the conditions of the road that I got yesterday from our folks was that it was bare, it was wet, and then it had been treated earlier the night before. So,
okay.
You know, we'll wait and see. You know, I'm not an investigator. We let them do their work, but right now I have not seen anything. I haven't even, unless you guys tell me, I haven't even seen any news reports from people in the crash who said anything about ice, but you know, I could be wrong. So,
well, probably the people that are actually the ones that will tell you it was slippery, if it was slippery, were those that were involved in the 30 car pileup, and we've heard from, and maybe it's secondhand information. Before we go, Paul, give us 60 seconds on something. Still, to this day, we're getting text messages and emails from people saying, what's up with these evacuation route signs and the letters that are posted along the side of the road? Could you came on the program when those signs first came out. You told us, for those that just don't understand or maybe missed it, what are those signs and those letters all about?
Yeah, we're still doing the rollout, but essentially those signs are going to go all up and down the interstate. So it's an easy route to follow if there is an incident like yesterday and the road is closed. You know, we could flip the sign a few miles ahead of time and say, you know, follow route P, and then we'll flip over the sign so people can easily navigate around the interstate. Now, I knew you were going to ask about this, and the signs are not up and running in the Carmel-Etna area, so they were not in use yesterday, but they are eventually going to be up and down the whole stretch of the interstate, so it'll be a quick and easy way to navigate people around stuff if there's an incident, if there's road closure, and if there's, you know, construction, things like that. So yes, we still get questions about it, and we'll keep talking about it until everybody is on board with why am I being directed to, you know, to Route M. What does that mean? So that's what it means.
Paul Merrill with the ABCs of Maine's DOT on GHRT. Hey, thank you, Paul. We'll talk to you again soon. Have a great day.
Thanks, guys. A pleasure. Bye.
GHRT Rewinds, brought to you by your hometown real estate team, Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Thinking about selling your home? Call 629-9211 and start packing.